Thank you and good afternoon. The audit hearing for Mike Braun for Indiana, the committee, will now come to order. This hearing will be conducted pursuant to the procedural rules for audit hearings adopted by the commission in 2009, which is available on the commission's website. Before us today, it's Chris Gober and Eric Wang, counsel for the committee, along with committee treasurer, Tom Detweiler, and CPA, Gary Brick. Welcome all. And as I did prior to this meeting started, I wanted to say hello to Mr. Wang, who has served as counsel to former FEC commissioner and chair, Caroline Hunter, back when I worked as an enforcement attorney. On September 16th, 2021, our audit staff emailed the draft final audit report of the audit division to the committee. On October 4th, counsel requested a hearing on behalf of the committee, which the commission granted. The committee's request is limited to challenging two conclusions within finding four of the draft final audit report. One, the conclusion that the $1.5 million in corporate checks were not from a permissible source. And two, the conclusion that the loans and lines of credit totaling $7,049,405 were not made on a basis that assured repayment. Counsel, for today's hearing, you may make a brief opening statement. Following your presentation, the commissioners, the general counsel, and the staff director will have the opportunity to ask questions. At the end of today's hearing, you have an opportunity to make a closing statement. As stated in our audit staff's October 27th letter, your statements at the hearing should present issues and arguments that you have already brought to the attention of the audit division. Absent a request by a commissioner at the hearing or intervening events subsequent to your response to the draft final audit report, you may only present issues and arguments at the hearing that were raised in your response. Our procedures also state that absent extenuating circumstances, committees may not introduce any new documents at the hearing that were not previously provided to the audit division. Counsel, please proceed with your opening statement.
Thank you. So on behalf of Mike Braun for Indiana, I want to thank everyone for this opportunity to clarify some of the issues in the draft final audit report and to explain some of the facts that I think go against the findings and in this finding for the draft final audit report. I will say that in 15 years of representing clients before the commission, I think this is the first time I've taken advantage of the opportunity to have a hearing during the audit process. So thank you for this. And I guess depending on how it goes, maybe my last. The committee wanted to request this hearing on finding four because the audit division's two conclusions in this finding are clearly erroneous and unsupported by the facts and the law. First, Senator Braun personally contributed $1.5 million in stock redemption proceeds to the campaign. These were not prohibited corporate contribution, as the audit division contends. Second, the more than $7 million in commercial bank loans and lines of credit that Senator Braun used to help fund the campaign were expressly permitted under commission regulations and precedents. These were not prohibited corporate contributions, as the audit division contends. With respect to the $1.5 million in Meyer distributing stock that was redeemed by Senator Braun, in response to the interim audit report, the committee provided a letter from Senator Braun's CPA, Gary Brick, confirming that the funds were the senator's personal funds obtained from the proceeds of selling his shares back to the company. The audit division wasn't satisfied with this documentation. So therefore, last week, the committee provided the fully executed stock redemption agreement, the company's board approval of the redemption, a professional valuation of the senator's share, and other related documents. While it certainly would have been advisable for Senator Braun to have deposited that $1.5 million, from the stock redemption into his personal account before moving the money to the campaign to avoid this scrutiny, we nonetheless trust that the information we've provided to the commission should sufficiently put to rest the audit division's erroneous position that these were not Senator Braun's personal funds. With respect to the loans, page 11 of the interim audit report correctly recited the commission's regulations set forth at 100.82 that such loans are not required to be collateralized, signed by a guarantor, or otherwise backed by a pledge of a committee's future receipts, where a totality of the circumstances indicate that the loans are made under conditions that assure repayment. However, in applying the commission's regulations to the committee, on page 14 of the interim audit report, the audit division then erroneously insisted that the loans at issue were improper because they were not collateralized, were not signed by a guarantor, and were not otherwise backed by future receipts. The interim audit report failed to acknowledge that under the same regulations it had cited just three pages before, that there were other circumstances under which the commercial bank loans were permissible. After receiving the draft final audit report in advance of this hearing, in which the audit division finally acknowledged that the commercial bank loans are permitted under other circumstances. So last week, the committee provided 21 documents consisting of 126 pages to the commission. Those documents include fully executed loan agreements, signed letters from the banks explaining why the loans were commercially reasonable, based off the senator's longstanding client relationship, creditworthiness, and other factors, and even some bank loan policies governing unsecured loans. The committee must also recognize that despite our successful efforts to provide a lot of this documentation, we have been at the mercy of the banks in obtaining a lot of this information. The banks are not respondents to the audit. Therefore, some of them have not been very eager at providing us a lot of documentation. One of the banks in particular is a very large financial institution with a lot of in-house lawyers. So you can imagine our request for documentation was met with some skepticism and bureaucracy. Nonetheless, I think we were successful in being able to provide significant documentation to be able to demonstrate that the audit findings and finding four are erroneous. I will say that notwithstanding our efforts, we have yet to obtain a few documents from a few of the banks, although there's ample documents from all of the banks for the loans at issue. So regardless, based off of the overwhelming documentation already provided, the commission should find that based off the totality of the circumstances, that these loans were commercially reasonable and not contributions under 11 CFR 100.82. The commission should also recognize the outcome if it's determined that the loans were not made in the ordinary course of business, because we have a circumstance where one of the banks, they made the line of credit, issued the line of credit as early as 2010, more than seven years before Senator Braun ever ran for public office. And if there were a finding that this became an impermissible contribution from a lending institution because somebody later used those funds 7 years later without any knowledge or consideration of the bank that these funds might even be used for a campaign for public office, it just creates a really bad standard for, essentially any commercial lending institutions, in this area. Certainly there was no intent of the banks when they issued a line of credit to Senator Braun in 2010, that this could even potentially remotely be a campaign finance issue. With that, I am happy to address any questions that the commissioners have.
Thank you, Mr. Glover. Are there questions?
Madam Chair.
Question?
One question for Mr. Glover. Nice to see you, sir. Thanks for joining us. Is there anything in any of this documentation that would foreclose the bank's bringing of a civil action in the event that your client had defaulted on any of the loans?
There would not be anything that would foreclose that.
Thank you.
Any further questions? I think I just wanted to clarify a point. Mr. Gober, you mentioned you provided these documents last week. That would be Friday?
I believe it was Thursday evening.
Thursday evening?
Okay. Yes.
Is there a reason why it was Friday or Thursday evening that it took to get these documents as opposed to previously providing?
Yeah. So if you go back to the interim audit report, mm-hmm. in that interim audit report, it was effectively the audit division's position through there that any documentation or what they requested, we had to provide loan documentation to show that the loans were guaranteed, that effectively met kind of the elements of the regulation I stated earlier. Our response to the interim audit report was focused on the fact that this was not a strict liability situation. It wasn't a per se violation because Senator Braun had gotten a line of credit that was not secured. So then based off of the changes in the audit division's recommendations in the draft final audit report, where they then laid out the standard and the elements for documentation that we needed to provide in order to rebut the findings, that's when we set out to request the get more detailed information from the banks, specifically request the documentation that was specified explicitly in the draft final audit report. And then we obtained that information and we turned over what we could, what the banks had provided us at that time on Thursday. But most of that information was provided to us last week for the first time.
I'd like to ask our staff to address Mr. Gober's mention that you did not provide sufficient information to help him be able to provide this information to the commission. I'm not sure if that's Ms. Brown, Ms. Morgan, Ms. Orok. Take your pick. Mr. Krogan.
Yep. So in the interim audit report that was provided to the committee, all the information was there as far as what we were requesting for documentation. And so as it relates to assurance of repayment, that was 275 days ago that we requested that document. Okay.
Are there any further questions?
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Trey.
So, Mr. Gober.
Yes.
There are, in these documents that you provided recently, there's some commercially sensitive information in here, but you have not asked the commission to in any way redact that information that the banks provided, correct?
We made a determination. We've actually... In addition, and this is probably another cause for delay in the, and I'll get to your answer, and this is kind of the long way of going about it, but we were provided thousands of pages of documents by the banks because of all of the documentation they had requested from Senator Braun when he was applying for these loans. We then had to sift through that information, make determinations of what we were even just somewhat comfortable with of turning over to the commission. And certainly in this process, there was a lot of that, you know, had detailed financial information, not about him, only about him personally, but companies, obviously personally identifiable information like social security numbers and other things. So, and just because of the short period of time that we had, we made a kind of an assessment to turn over the particular documents we did. Now, if there is an opportunity to not make a lot of that sensitive information, such as estimates of his net worth, available for the public record, that would certainly be our desire for that not to be made publicly available because it is sensitive. And we were not crazy about providing that information because, frankly, I don't think that it was necessary to necessarily rebut the findings in the audit. Certainly, we, you know, I think there was a part on our part that we wanted to try to effectively rebut these findings without having to turn over that information, but we were effectively left with no choice. And I'll let you answer that. And I did want to respond to Mr. Kroger's statement earlier when that's.
Sure. So it's safe to say that y'all have done a high level of due diligence to get documents from the banks and provide them as quickly as you possibly could to the commission, whether it was last Friday or 100 days ago. The amount of time and probably amount of money that the senator spent on y'all working on this, to me, shows a high level of confidence that these are just reasonable loans that were made.
Yes, I mean, in one instance, we've one bank institution alone, I believe I've talked to as many as six attorneys.
Okay. And I'm happy for you to respond to our counsel.
Yeah, so if you actually go to page 20 of the draft final audit report, it's the first full paragraph, but it lays out there that concerning paragraph three above, the audit staff notes that Mike Braun for Indiana's reference to advisory opinion 1994-26 and MERF 5198 is applicable. So these were arguments that we had made in response to the interim audit report and the first time those precedents had been established or mentioned as applicable in these cases. The audit division goes on to say, however, NBFI failed to provide documentation to demonstrate the lines of credit were based on the assurance of repayment to include the following information from each of the lending institutions: the length of time of the candidate's relationship with the bank, the candidate's credit worthiness, net worth, assets, payment assets and repayment history, the bank's underwriting criteria for unsecured loans, and information demonstrating that the loans were not unduly favorable to the candidate. Prior to this, what the audit division requested from us was documentation showing that the loans were secured. We are the ones in our response to the interim audit report that laid out these factors of the evidence we could show. And it wasn't until the draft final audit report that the audit division recognized that that would be permissible evidence to show that these loans were made in the ordinary course of business.
Thank you, Mr. Grover.
Ms. Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I may address Mr. Grover's last comment, I just would like to point out that in the interim audit report and also on the DFAR, if you go to page 22, which is the printed page 17 at the bottom, and it reiterates what the interim audit report recommended. If you go to there are 1, 2, 3, 4 bullets, the fourth bullet starts where we state out the committee could have provided information including the length of time of the candidate's relationship with the bank, the candidate's credit worthiness, net worth assets, and repayment history, the bank's underwriting criteria for unsecured loans of the type needed to the candidate, and information demonstrating the loan terms were not unduly favorable to the candidate. So that information was in the interim audit report. We restated in the DFAR. We have been requesting this information since 2019 from the committee and working hand in hand with them to help them get what we needed. So I just wanted to address Mr. Grover's concern there. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Falcon.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
So from our counsel's perspective, is the information that they provided the only way that they could prove the loans?
The information that the audit division was requesting is consistent with what the regulations require. So for the auditors to verify that information, yes, those items that they laid out is what was necessary for the auditors to complete the audit function. Whereas we do acknowledge that the commission itself has discretion to go beyond those specific factors, those specific criteria.
Okay, so it's that last part that I wanted to go towards. So if they provided information that the commission found sufficient to justify the loans, that's okay.
Yes, because the commission has that discretion. The audit division is restricted to the confines of the regulations and FICA itself.
Thank you.
And Madam Chair?
Yes, Mr. Bowman, please.
Yeah, and I think kind of a follow-up to that point, I think it goes back to earlier what I mentioned about the banks not being respondents. There has to be a recognition that through this audit process, we were asked to provide information that us as the committee and the respondent in this audit did not have. We were asked to provide information about what was the lending institutions, what was their rationale and their process for issuing these loans. That puts us in a precarious situation of having to defend and provide information and obtain on behalf of a third party that is not even party to the action.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Traynor.
Mr. Gober, is the current treasurer of the committee the treasurer at the time that these loans were made?
No. In kind of our general response, and I don't think it goes into any of the other findings, but we laid out kind of the history of this particular committee because it did have a treasurer that was responsible for doing all of the record keeping and reporting, who effectively just up and left and disappeared on the committee. And shortly before a reporting period, so much so that during the course of this audit, because of our inability to even make contact or get a response from that previous treasurer, we actually asked the commission to subpoena that person in order to obtain documents from them.
And were you able to obtain all the documents that you needed?
We haven't been able to ever obtain all the documents we've truly needed to address all findings.
Great, thank you.
Any further questions? No? So, Mr. Gober, you have the opportunity to make a closing statement if you wish.
I think we've said enough. Thank you for the opportunity. I really do appreciate the ability to address the commission and try to resolve these issues before we move on past the draft final audit stage. Thank you.
Thank you. As you are notified, an audio recording will be made available of the hearing and posted on the commission's website. At the appropriate time, the commission may rely on the contents of the audio recording in its consideration of issues raised or in any subsequent action, and the committee may be bound by any representations made at this hearing. So thank you very much for everyone and the flexibility, particularly for moving it around, because you were asked to kind of be a part of this on the fly. So thank you very much, Mr. Gober, Mr. Wang. It's good to see you again. And this hearing is adjourned.
All right.